lot of good music today, praising God, and your heart before God's a real song to Him. So thanks for coming and being a part of thanks and praise to Him. The Bible says, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. And those two experiences, joy and fear put together at the same time, that's a really great picture of our hearts before God in worship. We're so glad to know of His love and belong to Him, and yet we give Him the most respect we can give anybody, anywhere, would want to give to the Lord and have a healthy fear of Him. Solomon gives us a few words about worship with the Lord's help, so God gives directions on our heart toward Him. And I think it's important to know Solomon loved to worship God. He helped build the temple with God's plan in his life, and so had a lot of, you know, good experiences worshiping God. I don't know what the dimensions of the temple were. They had to be blocks and blocks long, you know, to see people gather together and say, God, you're great and we need you. That was the heart of Solomon. So he gives a few words about worship, and I think it parallels what Jesus taught about worship. Because when Jesus taught about worship, he didn't give story after story, parable after parable, page after page on the particulars of worship. If you read the New Testament, he looked at things that are inward. When you and I are thinking about worship, we often think of the outward. What were the songs? What were the sermon? Who was there? Did anything happen in worship? Did I get anything out of the brief, bright hour of fellowship with God? Okay, that's our focus. God changes our focus from us to Him in worship. If Jesus would physically walk down the aisle and be with us, you know, take up a seat next to us, which one of us would be the first one to say, I want to speak. I want to, let me say something. Most of us would be real, real glad and be real, real careful. And I think that indicates our heart of worship to God all the time, the way we live, you know, when we gather and when we go. And so Jesus ignored the outward things in worship, and he moves us to the people's hearts. He said, worship God in spirit and in truth. Christ was concerned about your heart and my heart, how we were toward God. Were we into Him? Okay, was He our focus? Did we know he was there? Did we know He loved us? That's what He was interested in. He wanted a genuine heart. Remember who the Lord is. God turns us from ourselves to Him from time to eternity. That's part of the Lord's goal for us. So we always, if we can, have a little humility when it comes to worship and when it comes to walking with God. Don't be a know-it-all. Don't be a smarty-pants. Don't be too big for your britches when it comes to the Lord. Charles Spurgeon once said, 2 minutes after a Christian dies, they're going to know more about worship than all of us put together. And that's a humbling thing. God is in heaven. You and I are on earth. So let your words be few. Solomon, a great king with a lot of responsibility, understood that. God is in heaven. You are on earth. Let your word be few. When near to the Lord, keep your ears open and your tongue held. The Living Bible says that's a good one for preachers. We don't do that too well before God. But the Lord gives us an attitude check about worship and things that Solomon learned through the ups and downs of life you and I can learn too. First, he said this, guard your steps. Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Worship is really a part of our devotional, directional thinking in our heart. And we love God 6 days a week. And on the Lord's Day, we gather together to praise His name. It's a part of the pattern that the Bible gives. Nehemiah, in Nehemiah chapter 10, said this. He said, we will not neglect the house of our God. We will not neglect the house of our God. So, in a practical way, that means it's a good thing if I wake up Sunday morning that I don't think, you know, I wonder what I'm going to do today. My Sunday morning's up for grabs. My relationship with God's probably up for grabs. I remember growing up and battling with my parents about church at different times. I really didn't like to go to church for a number of reasons. It was slow. It was long from my little perspective. I remember if the service went long, I spent the last, 20 minutes of the service saying in my heart, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. Actually, terribly to admit, cussing out whatever was going on. Just like cussing it out. I didn't want to be there. At home, what I was missing, they had, this is going way back, they had Notre Dame football reruns on TV. I thought, that's what I want to be doing. But God says, guard your steps when you go to worship God. Be prepared, a plan for that, and participate to be invited. And if Sunday mornings is up for grabs, certainly your relationship with other believers will be up for grabs. That's not healthy. So you'll be disconnected with them. Because as important it is to meet with the Lord among His people, so it is important to meet with His people and the Lord around them. And so the Lord asks, who can I count on to worship me on Sunday morning? Can you say, well, I can see myself saying, here am I, Lord, send me. And Nehemiah makes a commitment for everybody. He says, we will not neglect the house of God. So that's just something that we could ask the Lord to put in our hearts and say, Lord, give me a heart for yourself, a heart that loves to worship you among your people. And think about it. What is the house of God in the New Testament? It wasn't the big temple even anymore. It was God's people. And so, to have a great respect for God's people, and another motivation why we gather. When I was a youth pastor, I don't know if I told this story. When I was a youth pastor, I would set up different things for the young people to do. And one time we had games inside the church, and I thought, well, where's the biggest room in the church? It's a sanctuary. So we need a place for relay races. We'll do it in the sanctuary. So we had, you know, run down the aisle this way, run back the aisle that way, somersault down the aisle this way, and it was a good time. Thankfully, nobody got hurt. But the wise senior pastor said, and he didn't fire me, and that was an act of grace. He said, hey, this is set aside for worship, and it's a very special, you know, place. Besides that, we don't want any broken bones, broken pews, all those things. So, show respect for that which has respect attached to it. And that was real important for me to learn. And so what the New Testament asks us to do is take the respect and love we have for a particular place and a particular building and transfer that to the people of God in whom Christ dwells and for whom Christ dies. Could you picture the kindness and love you would have for the people around you that God calls you to if you took the respect you have for a place and say, now there's the temple of God right there. Now that's where the action is. That's where I gather, where the people are gathered. One preacher said if the people were out in the parking lot, I wouldn't stay in this room. I'd go out in the parking lot, where the Holy Spirit resides in the people of God and for whom Christ died. And so be like Nehemiah and say, we will not neglect the house of God. We will not neglect the gathering to build up others in the faith and get built up ourselves. And in our own hearts we say, I belong to you, you belong to me, and we're in this together with Christ. That's all a part of guarding our steps. We know the purpose for which we come, to give a lot of thanks to God and to build others up. And And Solomon talks about our outward activity a little bit. He says, watch your tongue. Watch your tongue. Don't be quick with your words. Let your words be few. Because in a lot of ways, when we worship God, true worship goes beyond our words. Words are one way to express love. We know that from the book Love Languages. That's one way to express love. The heart is seen by God. He just doesn't hear what we say. He checks how we are on the inside. And often worship is beyond words. Were you ever in a situation with a family member, or even recently, 4th of July, you see the fireworks and everything is going on, and most of the comments are just silence or wow or ooh and ah if they're expressed outwardly. And maybe at a certain time with a family member or a friend, a walk, a birthday celebration, some special occasion, some gathering, where basically you say, you know what, I can't even find the words to say what I feel at this time about this special time or special person. I'm sure we've had that. Hallmark cards have those cards, you know, on the outward it says, words cannot express the way I feel about you. Then you open the card and there's a 24-line poem. All of a sudden the guy, whoever it was, got real verbal. And the man, he looks at that card and he says, I'm not buying this card. This is not me. Someone said, men speak in headlines. I love you, period. And women speak in fine print. You know, so if they speak in fine print, get them a fine print card. A lot of things in there. That's important. And I've been in worship services where people around me, we're singing Amazing Grace. I'm singing, you know, I know the words, so I'm singing real well, and I'm thinking about the Lord, and sometimes I'm saying, I think we're having hot dogs for lunch, and I hope my favorite mustard is there. That saved a wretch like me. There. You try to concentrate on the Lord. And then the person next to me, they're not saying anything. I'm looking at them. They're not singing. But something's happening in their heart. They can't even verbalize the way they feel about God at that point. They are so glad about Him and His amazing grace. They're too choked up to say it. So sometimes let your words be few in worship. There's one old song says, How can you say thanks for the things He has done for you? You're just going to say it? Or you're going to maybe surrender your life? Things so undeserved, yet He gave to prove His love for you. You could have voices of a million angels. They couldn't express your gratitude to God. Hold your tongue. And it doesn't matter the outward form. Again, Jesus never taught anything about, you know, some folks say, the louder you are, the closer you are to the Lord. Maybe. It depends on what's going on in here. Other folks say, the quieter you are, the closer you are to the Lord. Maybe. Depends on what's going on in here. Some would say, well, the more spontaneous you are, the closer you are. The more planned you are, the closer you are. No, the more you are, the more you are. In the heart. Close to the Lord. And so Solomon's last words were, stand in awe of God. Consider God's breathtaking character. Angels tremble before Christ. It's good occasionally if we tremble before Christ in our hearts. Or at least you can tremble before something the Lord has made. You know, dear people around you. And know that specialness of life and life eternal. One of the things we don't want to be before God is casual before Him. It's good to be a little bit down to earth, I think, and informal in the way we look at life and really be who you are. You know, if that's not you, don't do that. It's like the man with the Hallmark card. That's not me, then don't do that. But whatever is you, please do that before God. Tremble before Him. Don't be casual toward Him, because God is very, very different from us. One of the great things about worship and people who love to worship, I learned a lot from others, is that they really want the Lord to be honored in worship through songs and different things, because they know Jesus is close to us and He's near, but He's very, very, very high above us. Really high above us. So we can say, God is holy. We are sinful. God is all-knowing. We are ignorant. We don't know. God is all-powerful. We are weak. We are weak. God is righteous. And without Him, we're unrighteous. And God is merciful. Sometimes we're strangers to mercy. God is, He's so faithful, and we're fickle. Now in the light of His glory and grace, what does Jesus mean to us? That He would take our sinful hand and put it in the hand of a God like that. And He would say, I love you. I'm with you. I have a plan for you. And we're speechless at that point, and we want to surrender to Him. So think of loving the Lord with your life in worship, and as we gather together, think about why do you want people to love you? You can think of that. You say, I want people to love me for what I do, what I accomplish. But really, you want people to love you because of just who you are, don't you? Well, I just love so-and-so just because of who they are. Not because they got a haircut last week, or and they have a good, they got a nice job, so that's why I love them. No, I love them just because of who they are. And the Lord says, hey, remember who I am. To love Christ just because He's Christ. And He's always the highest motivation for worship, for life, for a walk with Him. And He's gracious, He's loving, He invites closeness to Himself. So, with God's Word, we together, and we as we go, could say, serve the Lord with fear, rejoice with trembling, and do not neglect the house of our God. Let's pray together. Lord, thank You for being such a Lord that You'd invite us to Yourself, and if we're lost or far away from You, You'd come find us. You'd seek us out, and we could be with You, know Your friendship, Your presence, hear Your call to follow, for us to follow You. We pray for a heart toward Yourself as we continue to worship today and throughout this week. Might we have a great love for Christ that would be unexplained other than the person You, Jesus, of Yourself. And might You be honored in all we do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.